Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
There's been a lot about domestic violence in the news in the last several months to a year. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, Jose Reyes, the Mets player, Ray Rice, the football player, and it seems like every other day, entertainer Chris Brown. And it really isn't just the world of celebrities. It truly can be anyone. I read a rather disturbing statistic the other day that 20 people are victimized every minute. And we like to think of it as only men being the perpetrators, but in reality, they can also be victims of abuse. And we think about these kind of abuse as only being physical, but you never have physical abuse without an emotional component. There's frequently verbal abuse. There can be financial abuse, sexual abuse, you name it, anything that one person can do to another. And early in my career, I worked at a domestic violence sexual assault organization, and I was working with women, and basically they said that they would rather be hit than any other form of abuse because the bruises would heal. And that, I got to tell you, set me back on my heels. And luckily, it's taken, abuse of all kinds is taken much more seriously these days, even if we're still not completely there yet. And it can be really hard to believe that your favorite athlete or entertainer is an abuser. And it may be even harder to believe that it can be your coworker, your neighbor, or your spouse. And one of the things that we need to do is to talk about it, get it out in the open, and to let people know that healing is possible. And so to talk about what it is, who it impacts, and what can be done about it, I'm joined by Carla Van Ray. She is the author of Healing from Abuse. And Carla, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you, Leslie.
This is such a hard topic because there's a whole sense of shame around it. And we like to pretend that it's not happening. And it can also even be frustrating if you do actually acknowledge that somebody is being abused and you try to help them and they're not ready to be helped yet. But why does it still come as such a shock when we know somebody's either a victim of abuse or they're the perpetrator?
Why does it come as a shock to know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a shock to realize for yourself that you have been abused when you have been abused. And I think really that very few of us as children escape being abused. And I say this because my definition of abuse is doing harm to children, doing whatever harms their emotional well-being, their emotional, their sense of themselves as worthy and lovable human beings. So who among us doesn't escape being put down by parents so seriously that we begin doubting ourselves, begin doubting how beautiful and lovable we are? And when we grow up with that we've grown up with a sense of abuse.
Right. Or it might not even be our parents. It could be a teacher, a friend, a sibling. It could be just somebody who's important to us.
Yes, it could be very well. It could easily be a sibling. An older sibling who, for instance, I know two children, one boy who is 3 years older than his sister, and his sister has a mental deficiency, not serious, but a mental deficiency, and he calls her stupid and dumb all the time. And he gets away with this. His mother doesn't correct him for that, and he's dumb and slow and so forth. So she's grown up with that and believes this deep inside of her. She believes this. But I must say also that her brother wouldn't do this. He wouldn't do this to her if he hadn't that feeling about himself to begin with. I find that people who abuse themselves have also in some ways been abused, and this gives them the idea, this gives them the feeling of wanting to abuse others. That's my experience anyway. Well, would you agree with that, Leslie?
Up to a point I could, but as you said, it's also that he can get away with it, that nobody, his mother, is not saying, don't talk to your sister like that. So in a way, the sister's being abused twice, one by the person who's actually calling her names and then by her parent who isn't stepping in and defending her and saying, knock that off.
Yep.
And I think we see that a lot just in society, and especially right now where we don't seem to be having conversations with people that we disagree with. We're busy flaming them on the internet or insulting them actually to their face. And nobody is saying, stop this. This is inappropriate behavior. Here in the United States, back in the, it must have been the mid-80s, because I got married in 1986, and this was happening after I was married. And there was a big push about how we talk to our kids, and the words that we say matter. And there were all kinds of things about, just like you say, don't use the word stupid or bad or whatever you say, I don't like your behavior. And working with married couples, I'm always surprised by what couples will say to each other. And I want to do this public service announcement about how you talk to your spouse as well, because it's really rather great. Shocking.
Well, yes, it'd be great to have a typical conversation aired on radio, and to translate that into something that is kind towards each other. That would be a really nice event, actually. People do need to learn how to be kind to each other, how to be civil to each other, not abuse each other. It's quite a learning, isn't it?
It is,
but the learning really comes by changing oneself. It doesn't come by changing a relationship. It comes by changing the other person in the relationship, which is always the thought, If I change this other person, then our relationship will be much better. It's a change within oneself that needs to happen.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that is one of the classic things in abuse, whether it's verbal, emotional, physical, whatever, is this idea that, if I just do it right, then this person isn't going to yell at me, this person isn't going to hit me. It's this idea that I'm in control of somebody else's behavior, and we're never in control of anybody else's behavior. Mm-hmm. But and that's actually what abusers will say. Well, if you hadn't done that, then I wouldn't have gotten mad, and I wouldn't have punched you, or I wouldn't have called you a name or whatever. It's like, no. You are 100% in charge of your own behavior. But somehow that seems to come as a shock to people.
It does. Yeah, that's right. And if a woman, I should imagine that a woman in an abusive relationship often thinks that she has to change to suit the relationship, to suit her husband or to suit her partner, and then she won't be abused anymore. But it's not a change in behavior we're looking at. We are changing. The need for change is in the self-love, actually, or the self-appreciation and the self-respect for oneself that there has to be. So if I want to heal from an abusive relationship, what I need to look at is myself. How do I feel about myself to begin with? Because my reality, what I experience, ends up being a reflection of how I feel myself. Now, that is an extremely hard one for people to accept, I think.
Well, it is, because it almost sounds, and I've had to walk this line very carefully, because it almost sounds like blaming the victim. And it was interesting, because several years ago I was working with a couple, and one of their big things was the way he spoke to her. And we were having a meeting, she and I were having a meeting by ourselves one day, and I said to her, and I apologize for using this word, but this is what he would call her. I said, the first time he called you a bitch, why was it okay? And she looked at me and she said, well, it wasn't. I said, well, 12 years later, he's still doing it. And I wasn't trying to blame her. What I was trying to get her to do was see that this was a dynamic that she had a, I don't want to say she had a, I mean, she wasn't causing it, but she had a role in it. Does that make any sense?
Well, yes, of course. And self-blame is the last thing that that is needed here. Self-blame is right. It just perpetuates things. My whole book is about self-acceptance and learning self-love. And that is a skill and an art. And it is it goes really deep because self-love comes from a place of very much deeper inside oneself than the normal conscious person, what you think, how you think of yourself. Self-love came to me when I realized that all my emotions were, my negative emotions weren't the truth of me. What I thought about myself, who I thought I was, wasn't the truth of me. I am a spiritual being. Basically, that's who I am, a spiritual, eternal being, come to play as Carla in this lifetime, with all my emotional hang-ups, with all my beliefs, and with all my experiences. And it's none of it is judged, none of it is awful, none of it is so bad that it can't exist, but it can all be transformed, and that's meant to be transformed. But what transforms it is, first of all, self-acceptance, acceptance of oneself just as one is, just as you are, acceptance of myself just as I am,
And that can be very hard when the message that you've been getting, whether, and most of us, it starts, as you said before, in childhood, but those messages that we just aren't good enough, and then we find people who continue to feed into that self story, which, as you said, is not an accurate representation of who we are.
Yeah, well, that's the first thing to realize. The story we've heard of ourselves, what we think we are, what we've picked up from childhood, what we believe about ourselves, that is just not a true story. We need to stop and say, who am I really then? If I'm not this person that other people have told me I am, who am I really then? And we discover that. We discover that by, first of all, accepting everything we believe about ourselves, accepting that without judging it, that means. You know, not accepting it as true, but accepting it, oh, this is what's going on, this is what's going on, but not calling it bad, just accepting this about, and this is what I have done, and not judge any of it, and then go a step further and actually love that, you know, become aware of the wounding that this has caused in my understanding, and pour love into those wounds, because without love there is no healing. In my experience, there needs to be more than just understanding. There needs to be a calling on love, and this love is, you might say, it's, where do I get it from? You know, who's going to love me to heal me?
Well, exactly.
You're going to love you to heal you. And it is available. It's in everyone. This love is in everyone. It's possible for everyone to call on it.
Well, you say that, and I don't disagree with you, because this is part of what I do as well. But I think that, and I don't know if you can hear my listeners, but there's a bunch of them screaming at me right now. It's like, oh, well, that sounds wonderful, but how do I love myself when everybody tells me I'm unlovable? And, oh, by the way, they're right.
Right. Okay, yes. Well, if you want to believe that, you see, by the way, they're right. If you want to believe that, well, that's a choice. But you can start choosing to not believe that. You can start choosing to say, in spite of the evidence, I'm going to discover that I am a lovable human being. I'm going to discover this for myself. And in my book, it's you see, we have only a few minutes to talk about this, but in my book, I very gradually introduce a person to that whole idea and to that whole ability to love oneself, because it's a journey. It doesn't happen straight away. It's a very gradual journey, but it's possible. It's possible if you put your intention there. I'm going to discover who I am, and I'm going to learn to love myself then you will get there. You will. But it's you have to ignore all the voices inside you that say, ha ha, you'll never will. Ha, that's not possible. Because that voice has become very strong, and you have to start disbelieving that voice.
Absolutely. You're listening to Happily Ever After is Just the Beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with our author, Carla Van Ray, about what abuse is and how you can heal from it. And Carla, you're talking about this in a really interesting way, and it's bringing up for me the difference, if there really is one, and I guess that's my question, aren't bad relationships, relationships that aren't working, relationships that are full of tension and anger and hurt, are they really that different from abusive relationships?
Well, I would say no. That is, the abuse is actually, the emotional abuse is the most important part of that, of any kind of abuse. It's the emotional wounding that happens that causes, that is the essence of the abuse. That's just my opinion.
I happen to agree with you, but that makes two of us. So, hey, we've got a coalition of two here.
Yes, well, Without the emotional wounding, if a person's self-esteem is very strong, there would not be the emotional wounding. But if a person's self-esteem is very strong, they wouldn't put up with any other kind of abuse either. They just wouldn't do it.
Well, it's funny that you should mention that, because I actually was in a relationship years ago where he actually did hit me once, and I was aware enough that that was not okay. It took me quite a long time after that before I realized he'd been emotionally abusive the whole time. So I think in some cases we accept, and that's not the right word, but I'm going to use it anyway, we accept the verbal and emotional abuse where we wouldn't accept anything about in our physical space, whether it's sexual or physical in another way.
Yeah. Yes, well, that's right. Yes, yes, and mothers. I've actually watched mothers say to their children, you know, what you don't do is you don't hit each other, don't hurt each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't physically hurt each other, but they hurt each other emotionally, and that passes. That passes by. It's, no one is pulled up for hurting each other in any other way. It's something we have learned, I think, somewhere in our psyche. But I'll tell you what, Leslie, though, the worst abuse that we experience is the abuse we give ourselves. The emotional abuse that we, the messages that we keep giving ourselves, you know, the beliefs we have about ourselves, and the way we repeat the messages of childhood to ourselves unconsciously sometimes, or most of the time it's not conscious. But you're worthless if you've been told that as a child. We keep telling ourselves this.
Right. And we actually then, not consciously, but then we end up recreating those relationships. And then we wonder why we can't have these loving, happy, safe relationships, because we're still running that tape in our head that we don't deserve it.
Yeah, that's right. That's why the healing begins with yourself. The healing of a relationship, of any relationship, or the quality of relationships, starts with the healing of one's own emotional self.
And this is true, and I've worked with a lot of individuals and couples, and I see this wounding universally. It's not just the women. It's not just the men. It's actually made me a tad cynical about the wonderful view that parents are held in, you know, this idea that they'll throw themselves in front of trains and slay dragons, and, you know, they'll do anything to protect their children. And unfortunately, I've seen the results of parents who actually don't do that. And it really sets us up for having challenging relationships in all aspects of our lives.
Yes, well, that's right. Yeah. And the way we brought up as children, that's what has formed us as children, but they're not the truth of us.
And I need to point out that this is not to blame our parents.
No.
Because most parents are doing the best they can, but they were wounded as children. Now,
exactly.
You know, there are some things that I can't accept as that you don't know it's wrong. But most of the wounding that goes on, I do believe is unintentional. That doesn't make it any less damaging.
Well, that's exactly right, yes. So the idea is to stop all these cycles, to stop the cycle of abuse by healing yourself. That's how you stop all the cycles. It's a wonderful experience, actually. You know, I did this for myself, and I never need to experience abuse, sexual abuse or any other kind of abuse for the rest of my life or any time in the future anymore, because I have ended those cycles. But it took a lot of self-acceptance. It took a lot of going into those very dark spaces where I believed that I was unlovable and pouring love into all those unlovable spaces. So it takes very conscious effort to heal.
And it's very scary.
Because we believe all those dark emotions about ourselves. We believe that we are these emotions. What started me on my healing journey was this stark realization one day. I am not my emotions. It's not who I am. I have emotions. They go through me. I have them. I feel them. But they are not me. I am somebody that's much bigger than that, that can embrace all those emotions.
Embrace them and change them. And I think that's really important. And I like that you say that you aren't your emotions. You have your emotions. Because what most people don't realize, and I will say, and it took me a long time. I had somebody that I followed, and I read his books, and I did some of his workshops. And he made this statement that we can choose our emotions. And I fought that for a while, and then all of a sudden it was like, no, he's absolutely right. We can choose our emotions, and I find that a very liberating statement, but it's also very scary, because then it means, okay, if I can choose my emotions, then why am I choosing this emotion over that emotion? and then there come all the old stories.
Well, that's right. And also those emotions are very strong, and they come up very automatically because we have indulged in them for so long and believed them for so hard that they come up very strongly and very suddenly. So how do you say I can choose my emotions? Well, my answer to that is you can always choose to love whatever you feel. You can always choose to love. Oh, this emotion has come up. Right. Well, I choose to love myself in spite of this. I choose to love myself even though I feel this way. And I choose to love this emotion because I invited it to be here. I created it in the first place by accepting it into my life. I choose to love everything about me. All the way, everything I feel, everything I believe, I choose to love everything about me. So this is a choice. This is a choice. Love, that's understanding of love that I have, that it's a choice long before love is a feeling. It is a choice. You choose to love.
But isn't that what most of us do, that we're looking to somebody else to give us that love and heal our wounds for us? But every time we do that, if we're not actually allowing those words or self-love in, then we're just going to keep repeating the same unhappy process, right?
Yes, that's right. It's not possible for anyone else to heal our wounds. It's wonderful to find someone who in life, you know, who unconditionally loves you, because then you can see how you can love yourself. It's, you know, that's a real gift, to find someone in life who accepts you and loves you just for who you are, because that gives you the understanding, hey, this is how I should love and accept myself. yeah, this person loves me, even though I don't think very much about myself. Although, even though I hate myself and deep down I've got all this self-rejection, this person really loves me. That's how I need to love myself.
But don't we have to be at a point to allow that love in? Because there's a lot of times when somebody will say, they actually do love us. They do accept us for who we are. But if we're not at that level yet, that just bounces off of us. It's like, yeah, you say you love me, but, you know, if I don't really believe I'm a lovable person, can that actually come through?
Well, yes, that's quite true. Very often we come across this and we don't believe it. That's right. We don't, we mistrust it because we don't believe that we are lovable. But we can start from now. Now, if we're listening to this, we can start now. Hey, I am lovable. And I actually don't care what other people think of me. I'm going to decide that I'm lovable. And I'm deciding to find this out for myself because that's the truth. If you can accept this as a mental truth to begin with, and then stick to it, and then say, I'm going to discover what this actually means, then you're going to get there.
So
a long story made into a shorter one.
Right. And on some level, this sounds, it's what I tell people. This is simple. It is not easy. So
yeah, that's right.
What are some, I mean, you just said something about when you start to have the critical talk or you replay the tapes in your head of your wounds, that you say, no, I'm going to love myself. I'm not going to care about, I don't care what anybody else says. How do you actually do that? Because that sounds like I said, it sounds really simple, but it's a huge step.
Yeah, it's a huge step. And that's why I've written a book about it. And that's why I have devised a support program as well based on the book to expand on the book, because it's not something that you can suddenly fall into, or, you know, very few people suddenly fall into this. It's a gradual process. But one thing that works for me is when this conversation starts in my head. See, I'm a writer, so that's why it's easy for me. But for some people, it might also work. You write down the conversation you hear in your head. You write down those words that you hear spoken in your head, the voice that keeps putting you down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask, is this true? Is this true of me? I choose to accept this for myself, for believing this, but I don't accept this as the truth of me. I choose to love myself in spite of everything that I have ever believed about myself. I choose love. Choosing love to me is the most powerful thing you can do, actually.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd like to, if I could, I want to make a suggestion that might make it a little bit easier for people. And if you tell me I'm off track, that's okay. But it's when you say, is this true about me? I'm wondering if it might be easier if somebody said, is this the whole truth about me?
Right, yes.
Because I think that might be, because I might say, well, I might be able to find a place where maybe I did something that was unlovable, but that's not my entirety. It's only a part of who I am.
Well, of course, we all do things that are unlovable, but it doesn't make us unlovable. It's in my experience, no matter what we do, no matter what we've done in our lives, we can't make ourselves unlovable. We are lovable no matter what we have done, what we have thought about ourselves, what we have not done. Even the most miserable things that we have done, and I'm talking about abusers as well as the feeling of being abused, you know, it's the true part of us, that the unconditionally loving part of us, never has judged us and has always loved. And that's the love I'm talking about. That's what you call on when you love yourself. This unconditionally loving self that you really are, at the back of you, the bigger part of you, that can accept everything about you.
Well, that sounds like a great idea, but I do need to give a caveat to people, because once you start down this process, which, by the way, I highly recommend, it's going to change things, and you need to be prepared for some of those changes. And, you know, and sometimes it can be very scary to start loving yourself and rejecting other people's long-term view of you. So, Carla, can you tell people the name of your book, where they can find it, more about the support program that you offer?
Okay. Well, the complete title of the book is Healing from Abuse, A Practical Spiritual Guide. And it's available on Amazon. It's also available from our website. Then I'll sign it and send it to you, and you pay for the postage. So it's cheaper to get it from Amazon as a printed book or as an e-book. And the support program, you just sign up via my website, which is myname.com, CarlaVanRay.com. Van Ray is spelled VanRay, Carla with a C.
Great.
So, yeah, sign up for my newsletter if that's what your first starting point is.
It's probably a good idea. And, you know, what we need to think about is, you know, abuse of any kind has no place in a relationship that is supposed to be based on love. And, you know, we can try to talk ourselves out of what's happening. We can believe what we're being told. And it's understandable that, you know, we focus on the good times and let go of the bad times. But it's also easy to get down on yourself, frustrated with a loved one about not treating you well. But you have to care about yourself. No relationship is going to work if you aren't in a good place yourself. So the question that you need to ask is, and by the way, don't blame yourself. It's not about blame. Every one of us has to walk through the same place. But what we need to ask is, what needs to happen so that you value yourself? So like Carla says, that you love yourself. Because when you love yourself, everything else is possible. Fantastic relationships are possible, healthy living in all its aspects. And so if you've got questions, contact Carla, shoot me an email, let me know. But you don't need special permission to be loved. You are worthy just because you're on the planet. You don't need anybody's permission to be worthy. And yep. Hopefully this was a helpful conversation for you today. And until next week, stay loving.
Yeah. Thank you.